So have you had any good news lately? Any good news? Yeah? I think we've all experienced the power of good news. I know our family did as we got together this past summer. First, the bad news. A year ago, my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. That was a devastating diagnosis. Life-changing, as they had a look at their life. He just continued to get weaker, and they said, yes, we've ruled out everything else, 99.9% sure. It's Lou Gehrig's disease. And we planned our annual family gathering out in Washington State, because they live in Seattle, so that my brother-in-law could be with us as we gathered my children and grandchildren and my side of the family there, because we didn't know if we'd ever have this opportunity to all be together again. Half the people diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease will die within 2 to 5 years. Others, like Stephen Hawking, will live a long time, but we just don't know. Well, we gathered together as a family. My brother-in-law, I said, Rick, you look like you're doing really good. And he said, yeah, let me share this with everybody. And so we got everybody together, and he said, my last visit with the doctors, they said, you're getting better. If you have Lou Gehrig's disease, you won't get better. You must not have Lou Gehrig's disease. And he continues to get better, and his last test a couple weeks ago showed that his muscles are operating twice as good as they were last year, which just doesn't happen with Lou Gehrig's disease. Well, that's good news. It's life-changing news because it totally revamps your life. We've all experienced the power of good news. It can change and transform our perspective and our lives. A doctor tells the new mom and dad, it's okay, your baby is healthy. News that you want to hear. A student tears open the envelope and discovers that student got a 30 on their ACT. Wow! That news is transformative. That will alter the course of his life by determining the college that accepts him, the amount of scholarships that he gets. That's just great news. That is why in our lesson today that we'll hear that the Apostle Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. It's good news that has the power to transform our perspective, our view of life. It has the power to transform not only our life now, but our life eternally. It's that good of news. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible of your own, grab the one in the pew rack. Those page numbers are listed in your bulletin. As we look at this very powerful passage, this passage once changed the life of a Catholic monk 500 years ago. Martin Luther knew that he was a sinner and desired to have peace with God. He knew that God punished sinners and condemned them to hell. So Martin Luther, desiring to gain heaven, entered the strictest monastery that he could find and lived an exemplary life. But he said, the harder I worked to make myself acceptable to God, the more I knew in my heart that I was a sinner and God punished sinners. He said, I did not love this righteous God that punished sinners, but I railed against him with an extremely, extremely disturbed conscience. But it was this passage from Romans chapter 1 that we will study today that set him free and set him on the right path of understanding what the scriptures meant when it says that the gospel reveals the righteousness of God and that the righteous will live by faith. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 1, as we read in Jesus' name. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Let me pause here just a minute, and you'll hear the word gospel another three times in this passage. Set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Christ Jesus. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, and so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Let us pray. Father God, help us to understand this important and powerful passage. Help us to understand the power of good news and the power of this good news, the gospel, so that, Lord, you would empower us. You would help us to share this good news with others. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take out your sermon outline there that was in your bulletin. I think it'll make it easier to follow along. We've been looking at our purpose statement, which is listed right at the top of that sermon notes. And our purpose is to share the good news of salvation with every person and to build mature disciples, mature followers of Jesus Christ. And we want to look at that first part about sharing this good news. The good news of salvation. That good news is the gospel. Paul says, I have been called by God to share this gospel. The word gospel simply means good news. Good news. And it is good news that we have. And that good news is the good news of Jesus Christ. And he says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel, this good news of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son. It's the good news of Jesus, who was descended from David according to the flesh. He came to share this good news. When Mark wrote his gospel, this is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And Jesus' first words in that gospel is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he preached the good news, preached the gospel. This is good news, and it's the good news of Jesus who came in the flesh to be our Savior, to die on a cross for us. But then it goes on to say that he was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Yes, Jesus came in the flesh. He died for us, having fulfilled the law in our place, taken the punishment we deserved, but then proved who he was as he rose from the dead. And so it's this good news of Jesus Christ that is to be proclaimed to all the world. And that's what Paul was doing, and he wanted to do it through the capital of the empire itself in the city of Rome. And so he's writing to believers at Rome and says, I want to come to Rome so I can share this good news there. And there were many, both Jew and Gentile, that needed to hear this good news. He wanted to be received and to be helped in sharing that good news. And so he takes in the book of Romans, a marvelous book, that he lays out exactly what this gospel is and what the ramifications are for our lives. And so it's the good news we have to share is the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And secondly, this good news that we have to share is the power of God for salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's an understatement. He was ecstatic about the gospel because it was such good news that had the power to transform lives. It transformed his life. It has transformed lives down through the ages, including Martin Luther, who said when he finally understood what this meant, this passage meant, he said, I felt as if the gates of heaven were open to me, and I was able to, well, he said, let me get the right quote here. He said, I felt that I was born again and that the gates of paradise were finally opened to me. And yes, that's what the gospel, this good news does. The good news is the gospel. The good news is Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures, what God had promised, he fulfilled. The good news, the gospel, is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead according to the scriptures. And so the gospel is this good news about what Jesus Christ has done for us in dying for our sins and rising in victory over death and Satan. And that is good news. The good news is the power of God for salvation. It is the power of God's love for us sinners. Because through this gospel, through this good news, God calls us to faith in him through the scriptures. God calls us to faith through this gospel. It's not just words on a page. It's not just your ordinary average good news. This is life-changing good news for us. The gospel is the power of God for salvation, the power of God's love and grace towards sinners. Verse 17 says, for through the gospel, in this good news, God's righteousness is revealed. And this is where Martin Luther had a hard time, because he was saying, yeah, I know about God's righteousness, and God is righteous and I'm not. And the very righteousness of God was something that Luther feared and should. But he realized in this passage when it says the righteous will live by faith, the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. It wasn't the attribute of God's righteousness. But in the gospel, what is revealed is that God imparts his righteousness to sinners such as us as we put our faith in him. It is the righteousness of God that is revealed from faith, for faith, as we put our trust in this good news. God gives us his righteousness. I don't have this verse marked down in your outline, but if you want to write it down, it's 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, for God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's what it means, that God gives us, imparts to us his righteousness by faith. And so it's good news received by faith. Faith is trusting what God has done. And in Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul has got this line of logic that he pursues relentlessly from this chapter and verse 18 all the way through chapter 3. And in chapter 3, he says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested or revealed apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." This righteousness that God gives us as a gift. And that brings us to the next point, that it is a righteousness that is received by faith. It is a righteousness that saves us from God's wrath. Verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Verse 18 begins this logic that Paul is saying that though the gospel reveals God's righteousness that he gives to us by faith, the law reveals God's wrath against ungodliness and unrighteousness. Verse 18 is the bad news. But the good news is the gospel saves us from God's wrath. Though we all deserve God's punishment, God in his mercy now gives us salvation, gives us his righteousness as a free gift. And so that's that last point down there, that the good news justifies by God's grace as a gift. Look at Romans 3:24. If you have your Bible open, you can turn over to there, Romans 3:24. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We're all in the same boat. We all have the same need. There is none of us that are righteous. No, not one. Verse 24 says, "And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Justified by his grace. Grace is getting something we don't deserve and we can't earn. Martin Luther knew that he was saved by grace through faith. And this not of himself, it was the gift of God. It's not by works so that no one can boast. We heard that this morning. Yes, we are created to do good works, but it won't save us. Our good works are to follow our salvation as God imparts to us his righteousness. And then we can begin to live righteously for him. And so we receive it as a gift. Paul knew that for himself. Listen to Paul's testimony. Last week I said we all have a story to tell. And we need to be able to be free about telling that story because it's something good that's happened to us. Paul says it like this. This is Paul's story. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and in unbelief. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." I've had people try to wrestle that title away from Paul. I've had people tell me, "Pastor, you don't know what I have done, and I know God can't forgive me." I've had people tell me that. And I says, "Well, I don't may not know what you've done, but I know what the Apostle Paul has done. Did you murder people?" "No, I haven't murdered." "But you don't know what I've done." "No, I don't. But let me tell you that the title of the greatest of all sinners has already been taken." And Paul claims that title. And if Paul can be forgiven, you can be forgiven. This is what Paul says. "I am the worst, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." Paul was made the example, not simply the worst of all sinners, but the example of God's grace, that his grace is free, that this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died and rose for us, God justifies us by his grace as a gift. Even our faith is a gift. Faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. As we hear the good news of the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes and calls us to faith. There's nothing in us that would even give a response. Now, we do have a choice. The Bible says we can quench the Spirit's power. We can harden our heart and say, "No, God, I don't want this good news. I don't want Jesus Christ in my life." We can do that. But as we hear this good news, God gives us the power to respond by faith and repentance so that we come to Him, our hearts are broken, and we say, "Yes, God, I need Your righteousness. I am unrighteous." And that's why verse 18 says that people have to suppress the truth and unrighteousness. They know what's right, but they keep on doing what's wrong, and they won't turn to God because they don't want to give up their unrighteousness and receive God's righteousness. God is righteous. That means He is totally and perfectly just and does always what is right. So finally, I have the question at the bottom. What's your story? What's your story? That was Paul's story. And Paul was not ashamed to share this good news because it was such good news. He has seen it transform his own life. He has seen it transform other people's lives. If you go back to Romans chapter 16, it's interesting because in Romans chapter 1, he talks to all these Christians in Rome. In chapter 16, he names them. And you go back and you hear some of the stories, their stories. And he says, you know, greet this person because they were believer in Jesus Christ before I was. Or this guy over here who was the first convert to Christ in all of Asia. Or Priscilla and Aquila who worked and labored with me are now in Rome. And greet the church that meets in their homes. And he names slaves and well-to-do people. And all of them were changed and transformed by the gospel. So much so that Paul says, news about your faith has reached all over the world. Transforming faith, it's such good news. It's good news that it changes our lives. It's good news that that we need to share. Back during World War II, those who were taken captive by the Japanese and were held in prison camps, it's been immortalized in the movie The Bridge Over the River Kwai. But days before the war ended, the Japanese guards were perplexed by the sudden change in demeanor of these prisoners. Before, they were emaciated. They hardly had food to eat. They were dropping like flies. They were dying of disease. And all of a sudden, they were filled with smiles, and they were congratulating each other, and they found a new courage to survive. And the Japanese were perplexed by that because they did not know that the prisoners had been able to smuggle in a radio and had heard the good news that the war was over and soon they would be freed. And their Japanese captors did not know that yet. And they were perplexed that these prisoners had such enthusiasm and were excited and ecstatic because they had good news. Their situation hadn't changed a bit, but they had news that was going to keep them going until they would be liberated in just days hence. That's the kind of good news. We've been freed from the power of sin. We've been freed from the power of Satan. We have this good news, and it's so good. We need to share it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the gospel, this good news about Jesus Christ dying for our sins. And we pray, Father, that You would just capture our hearts by this good news. And Father, if there's anyone here today that's not received it as good news, Lord, may they receive it by faith, trusting what You already promised. Lord, You give them the power. You're calling them right now to say, "Lord Jesus, I do believe You died for my sin, that I need a Savior. I do believe that You rose from the dead so I can have the confident assurance of eternal life with You one day. Oh Lord, may You come into my heart and I receive You as my Savior and Lord. And just as You now live in me, I want to live for You. Oh Lord, for all of us, Lord, who have already made that transaction with You, have already received and trusted in Your salvation, Father, may we share this good news with other people. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.